So what have we seen trend-wise relative to fraud and economic crime? So what we're seeing over the last 24 months from the Global Economic Crime Fraud Survey is fraud continues to rise, right? Which for most of us in this room, that's good news, right? It continues to mean, hey, there's plenty of work that needs to be done both on the corporate side as well as externally.
Not everybody, Todd.
that is true. And we see it on a global basis. So where does that get us when we talk about investigation? So what are some of those cost drivers? So Rick, do you want to start out and what drives the cost of investigation?
Sure. It's nice to be in Texas. I really look forward to meeting a lot of you over the next day and a half. You know, there are a number of drivers. My practice largely focuses on SEC investigations and enforcement matters and corporate internal investigations that might ultimately involve a company having to work through a potential securities law violation. There are a lot of drivers of the scope, scale, and expense. First and foremost, common sense, what is it that has been brought to the attention of the company? If it's an employment matter, not to diminish it, they're important, they set a corporate culture, but that's an employment issue of I'm being treated unfairly, there's some various form of discrimination or inappropriate job conduct. That's one matter. That's clearly a compliance matter, something that might be raised to the attention of in-house counsel to the extent you're talking about a public company or a large private company that has its own in-house counsel team. But that's one type of matter that's going to be reviewed one way. Getting something on a hotline at a public company from an employee alleging that there has been accounting fraud in revenue recognition, with revenue being recognized at year end for products that actually were shipped out after January 1st, with the involvement of senior sales and finance people at a material subsidiary abroad, and that was done as a result of a aggressive corporate tone at the top where the CEO and CFO of the company were pushing sales staff to meet year-end targets. Very different type of an investigation, very different type of exposure, very different type of concern as to a couple things. One, who should be involved in the investigation? If there is allegations of senior leadership who have some touchstone on the conduct, even if the company would like to take a first crack through internal resources with something like that, may be difficult because we just heard from the Department of Justice. We'll hear from a variety of folks who have SEC experience. You know, one thing that, you know, companies have to always be thinking in terms of if there's an allegation of misconduct of that scope and nature. Can't have the fox watching, guarding the hen house. People who might have personal involvement, if not liability or exposure, has to be sensitivity that they can't be involved. Yeah. Two, can it be done by in-house counsel? If not, is outside counsel necessary? These are the type of things that drive scope, scale, and cost.
Yeah. And Leonard, maybe you could talk about, you know, how do you make those decisions relative to, is this something that you or your team's going to handle in-house, or, you know, do you go outside, and at what point do you, you know, raise it up to the audit committee or a different level?
In prior life, we had, in fact, developed a matrix to handle all of our investigations. Based upon the nature of the type of claim, the individuals involved, And we typically stay to that matrix. So if, by way of example, if the CEO could have been involved in the allegations, it was almost immediately sent directly to the chair of the audit committee. And if we had an independent head of the board, we would send it to them as well to put it into their wheelhouse. If it involved other folks in the organization, we had a matrix about who was informed and who was going to take control of the investigation. As was pointed out, what's typically difficult to ascertain at the beginning of any type of hotline complaint is the breadth and nature of the investigation. So the practice has always been to handle it with kid's gloves and make a determination about where the investigation could possibly lead you.